This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mick Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mick Delivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
At the United States Postal Service, we deliver fast and affordably for small biz, big box, large scale, wholesale, retail, B2B, B2C, ASAP. USPS, delivering for America. Learn more at usps.com/delivering.
When you make more of your home with Valspar, you want to keep doing more. Like maybe you want to make your powder room more colorful, or make your basement more waterproof, or make your exterior more Mother Nature proof. Or make your driveway more protected. Or make your deck look more barbecue worthy. Or make your curb appeal more curb appealing. Whatever project is next on your list, Valspar makes all the products and tools to help you make more of it. Valspar, made for more. Available at Lowe's.
And welcome back to Cottage Talk Full Time. I'm Russ Goldman. Joining me right now is Max Cohen. Mad Max is back with me. I look forward to talking to Max about Fulham finding a way to win. They win 3-2 on the road, Max, at Stoke City, a difficult place to play, my friend. Just give me your opening thoughts. Mad Max's opening thoughts. We have a lot to talk about. We have to mention the players that were not available to Fulham, because I think that makes this victory even better. The fact that Harry Wilson and our top goal scorer, you know, again, who's on fire, Mitro's on fire. Well, he was not available to Fulham here, and they found a way to win. 3-2. Max's opening thoughts. Go ahead, Max.
Yeah, I think in many ways, this is up there with some of the most impressive wins we've had all season. Obviously not on the goal scoring front, but considering that without Mitrovic and Harry Wilson, considering we went behind 41 seconds in the match to come back, you know, for the second time last week against Bristol City, we came from behind to win. We did it again today. That's not something this Fulham team has succeeded a lot at this year under Marco Silva. So we're seeing that progression. And it was great to see the players who have taken a back seat in recent weeks come and step up. And that's what you need in a championship promotion winning side. You need depth. And it was Muniz with a great first goal. I mean, what a lovely
fantastic
well.
First goal. We're going to go through that. Fantastic.
And then Bobby Decadova-Reed, someone who, as we were talking about before, he's not been talked about at all the past couple months. And he probably would start in almost every single other championship squad, coming in with the late winner and a lovely, lovely half volley. Credit to him. Credit to all the players who have been, you know, spending a lot of time on the bench. But when they're called upon, they succeed. And this was a really gutsy, really impressive come from behind win.
Absolutely, Max. And I'm glad that you talked about this because I wanted to see Fulham play from behind. And they've now done it several times now. It's not just once. They've done it a few times. I shouldn't say several, a few times. But this to me was massive. The players missing, the mentality to come from behind, and finding a way to win. I actually tweeted that out before the match began. Fulham need to find a way to win. And as you said, players that have not played well. I even tweeted this. I tweeted that it was a great opportunity for Bobby Decadova-Reed and a fantastic opportunity for Rodrigo Muniz. What happens, Max? Both of them are key contributors and score goals in this 3-2 victory. It is huge. And what it is, Max, it really is. It's funny. It really is next man up, because these two players that have been key to Fulham can't play, and we have two players that do exactly what I asked, next man up. So, Max, let's not waste any time. Let's just get right into it. And if you're watching live, feel free to share who was your man of the match. I'm curious what everyone thinks about man of the match. We'll get to that in the second half of full time. But let's start off from the bat, Max. And again, the match didn't start off great for Fulham. I literally just logged in because I was coming back from work. And what do I see? But a goal from the gentleman's name, DiMaggio. How often do you hear a first name, DiMaggio? DiMaggio Wright Phillips, another Wright Phillips. He scores in the first minute. And I thought this was a very bad sign. But, Max, it was the first minute. We'll talk about the response right after that. But what was going through your mind early in the match as they got this early goal?
I almost laughed because it seemed like a joke. This team who had swept teams away with ease the past couple of matches is down before we even had a chance to settle in. We had a feeling when the ball came in from the left, it was a great delivery. Yep. And I just felt we didn't look switched on. Obviously, right, Phillips found the space between Ream and Robinson. And once that ball was put in that, 6-yard box area, Rodak's not getting it. He's unmarked, and it was a very simple goal in the end. Yeah, I had to chuckle because I was like, this team has just won 6-2, 7-0, 6-2, et cetera. And then now we're behind at Stoke, and it felt like, is this going to be a rally check for us today?
Okay.
Luckily, we didn't have too much time to stew over it.
No, we didn't, because the response was immediate. In the next minute, you see Rodrigo Muniz get a goal, and this is actually a wonderful goal. It was good hold-up play by him, and then he just turns two players. He gets by two players and gets a shot off, and it's a goal, Max. And here's a young player that has, I think, a lot of potential. Here was a wonderful opportunity. A response right from the get-go. Thoughts on the equalizer from Rodrigo Muniz?
I mean, it was just absolutely thoroughly struck into that top corner. What a hit. It was a bolt from the blue because, as you mentioned, we just gone behind, kind of down in the dumps. And then the first attack up the pitch.
First attack.
He turns two defenders and smashes it near post.
Oh.
Upper 90. It was a lovely strike to see. And as you mentioned, Muniz, he has an amazing goal-to-minute ratio, which we know.
It's crazy.
We haven't seen him score goals like that. They've all been kind of headers, tap-ins within the 6-yard box, which he's known for. But to hit that from, outside the 18, in the circumstances, it was almost unbelievable. And we're thinking, it's the second minute, we've seen two goals. Is this going to be another 8-9 goal performance combined like we've been used to seeing recently?
Yeah. And I'm glad that I can share this from Eddie Middlebrook, because I thought Rodrigo Muniz was good throughout the match. We can talk about some of the other situations. And without Mitro being on fire, Rodrigo on fire. Again, it's only just a goal, but he actually was involved with the two other goals, or might have been involved with the second one. We'll talk about that in a second. But Max, so Fulham go up 2-1, and then the match settles down a little bit. And I think this is actually a good sign, because I wanted to see things settle down and then Fulham get into their flow. But it was going back and forth, but Fulham were controlling the play. I think that's fair to say, right? So finally, Fulham get the go-ahead goal, and Carvalho gets the goal. But this has a couple different layers, because I don't know if Rodrigo Muniz touched it. I have to see another view of it. But regardless, to get that second goal, I think, was massive. Against a team like Stoke City, the fans were into it to respond back. Again, we start down 1-0, get a goal, get the equalizer, and then we go ahead. So what are your thoughts about the second goal for Fulham?
Yeah, it was a really good counterattack. And again, hats off to Bobby Decadova Reed for this assist, because
that's right.
He's played the through ball, and you just think it's taken him too wide and the chance is going to be gone because it wasn't quite in his path. But does a really nice job corralling that, cutting it back in for Carvalho, and he actually mishits it.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a goal, in my opinion. Does it touch Muniz? I'm still unclear. Maybe it takes a little bit nick off him, but it's definitely Carvalho's shot. And in those situations, sometimes the best thing for the attacker, Carvalho, is to kind of scuff that. So it kind of takes everyone by surprise. And it was right in the corner. Hits off the post. And there was kind of a moment when the players didn't really know what to do. You know, the celebration was a bit delayed, but another great way to head into the half, a goal to the good in a match when we weren't necessarily playing our best, as you mentioned. It had settled down. We were in control, but it wasn't the kind of swashbuckling attack we've seen in the past three matches. So it was great to get that goal, especially after being down 1-0, as we mentioned, in the first minute.
Absolutely, and I'm just sharing some comments. James Baldwin says, pretty sure Muniz touches that. We think he touched it. Again, you know, regardless, it's a goal, and Fulham go up 2-1. I'm going to share some more comments from the Fulham supporters as we go through this, Max. And I have to share this because I just like saying Berdinho. So Colm Bugler says, first win at Stoke since the Berdinho masterclass of 2010. I don't care how you win at Stoke to win there. It's a very difficult place to win, Max. You would agree with me on that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we saw it today. The pitch wasn't at its best. The fans were raucous.
It's cold.
It's cold. I mean, I still know it as the Britannia now. It's about 365.
Nah, it's still the Britannia.
It's a cauldron of a waste of home support. And yep. It's hard to be the away side there. And this Stoke team, I mean, let's give them credit.
Absolutely.
They played us really well. They gave us the best, you know, test we've been given since, you know, Sheffield United before the COVID break.
You could argue that maybe they deserve something for the match because they played that well.
I think we'll see this team in the playoffs come May. Because I think they're definitely one of the top six teams in the division just based on what we've seen today. And they've done some good business, it appears, in the loan market. A lot of young players from big sides who are hungry, a lot of pace, a lot of trickery. They gave us problems. Certainly Adoy at the end I was nervous about. But give credit to Stoke. This was a team who gave us a really good go of it.
They did, Max. And again, that's what's so encouraging about this. Like I keep talking about, and I'm going to keep saying this, finding a way to win, I think, is huge. And I have to share this comment from Val, because I was not aware of the Bournemouth result here. So Val shares this with us, a win with no Mitro, no Wilson, so good result, and three goals at Stoke, a hard place to go and win normally. And Parker, Bournemouth lose at home. Again, a little bonus there, Max. A little bonus.
Yeah, thank you, Hull City. I think they've beaten Blackburn.
And I can't stand Hull City. Yeah. I can't stand them. But they're helping Fulham out. They're actually helping Fulham out. They took care of business against Blackburn, and now they take care of Bournemouth. Thank you, Hull City. I can't believe I'm saying this. David Holly, if you're listening to, I'm actually saying thank you to Hull City. Okay. That's crazy, Max. That's really crazy.
Yeah, it's an eight point gap.
Oh, I have to share this too. I was not aware of this. Of course, this puts a smile on my face. I'm just going to share that. I'm not going to say anything. But that, and the only thing I will say about this, when Fulham do play this side that Steve Reynolds has commented on, I want 10-0. I'll just leave it. Okay. All right, my friend. So before we talk about the second half, a little worrying sign was how Stoke City ended the first half. I want to get your thoughts on this because I'm glad that you mentioned this because I don't think enough shows just in general that talk about teams give enough credit to the other side. To Stoke City's credit, they ended the first half really well. And I was actually a little nervous at the end of the first half. And actually at halftime, I'm thinking they're going to make it difficult in the second half. And they absolutely did.
Yeah. We could see that there were going to be issues if they had a pair to sustain pressure because they were dangerous with balls from wide. And in some instances, they were overwhelming our midfield and they were hungry. That's one thing I'd say about Stoke is that I'm not sure they played the best football, not sure if they were the most clinical, but you could tell that team was motivated by the manager and wanted to push forward and attack in numbers at times. So it was a warning sign. And I know we'll get to the second half, but they came out in the second half the more hungry side with more desire. And we struggled to get a foothold in, really, I'd argue until, you know, stoppage time when we kind of controlled it when we were up 3-2. We were not really in this match in an attacking sense second half.
Right. I'm there with you, my friend. And so we now transition to the second half, Max. And let's just go to the goal from Baker. You and I were talking about this. This is actually a very nice goal. And credit to him for scoring it, making it 2-2, and the crowd just goes crazy. And we know that we have a real match on our hands. Not that we didn't already, but it was going to be difficult to see Fulham get a victory here. But I'm going to ask you a question because this is actually posed to me from Emilio Danilo, who did not see the match. I don't think Emilio watched it, but he was just curious because he's been a little critical of Marek Rodak lately. Should Marek Rodak have done better here? I want to say yes.
Yes, he should have. It's that simple. It's a very good hit. Take nothing away from Baker. He hits that very pure, and it's a long way out.
I think it's fair to criticize Rodak here.
The dive didn't look like it was executed the right way. He looked like he just kind of held back something, and he was trying to push at it instead of extending his arms. And, yeah, it was in the corner, but that's a nice height for the keeper. I think he should have done better. Add that to the long-range goal that, you know, Birmingham City scored in midweek. It's a bit of a worry point. Now, I'm not saying we have to bring in Gazzaniga. I'm not sure a goalkeeping change is what's necessary, but
right.
I don't think Rodak covered himself in glory this match. I mean, he did have a nice save, to be fair.
He did. And,
but also think about what happened when their striker was played through. Rodak comes out to claim it. It doesn't really get anywhere near the ball. And he, without Tosin was really great in terms of positional awareness there. If
that's
Tosin's
right.
not there, that's concerning because Rodak was actually behind the ball. In that later moment. So there are a couple of moments when he looked not as assured as we've known him to be. But I'm not saying that we have to switch the keeper.
Right, and I'm not saying that either. I'm just putting that out there that, you know, again, we talk about the good, we talk about the bad. And Steven, I'm going to share this right now. We'll talk about this in just a sec. He did make a fabulous save at the end. Absolutely. He actually was the difference of Fulham getting the 3 points at the very end of the match. I will say that with that save. So definitely, I'm not going to not mention that, but I think it's fair to criticize a goal that maybe he could have done a little bit better on. That's all. That's all we're doing here. We're trying to call it both ways. If it's positive, we're going to tell you. If it's negative, we're going to tell you as well. But let's go on there, Max, because I want to get your thoughts before we really talk about the match winner. So how are you feeling after they scored? Because at that point, I want to say I felt that a potential third goal was coming, and I thought it was coming from Stoke City, honestly, because they had sustained pressure after that. I thought we held our own, and we weathered the storm. And probably that led to the fact that we had the opportunities that we had, because I knew we would have more opportunities. So how do you look at what happened afterwards? Do you say credit to Stoke City for coming at us the way that they did? Or are you critical of Fulham for not able to get the ball back and really not to get control back after they scored that second goal?
Yeah, it was concerning. It reminded me of the matches before the COVID break when we really were struggling, you know, against Luton or against Sheffield United or Preston when we were the away side. And it just looked like the tide turned and nothing that we could do could get us a foothold. This is when the Fulham team can struggle, you know, when we're away from home, backs against the wall, and there's momentum behind the other side. That's something I think we've not excelled at all year, is kind of getting back into matches. And that's why I think today was so impressive, is that we kind of got over that. Because there was a spell from 60 minutes to, you know, 75 when Stoke looked the most likely winner.
That's what I thought.
The goal came against a run of play. But that's what happens in the Championship. You get a run to play goal.
Finding a way to win, Max.
Find a way to win, as the show's called, very, very astutely. And what matters is the 3 points.
That's
right. We still scored three goals away from home, which is, for us recently, seems a bit, you know, a bit
down.
Low. But for any side in the division, that's a great, great result.
It's a very good result. It's a very good amount of goals away from home, three. Okay. How are we to complain? But yes, it's down from the 6 and 7 we've been scoring lately. But it is impressive when you look at the players that were not available to Fulham. But let's now talk about the match winner. And I mentioned to you off air that this actually begins with a great header from Rodrigo Muniz that hits the crossbar. And I thought he was active today. I thought he did his part in this Fulham victory, along with the gentleman who got the match winner, Bobby Decker Dover Reed, who has really not had much of a chance to play when you have Harry Wilson in front of you, and he took advantage of it. Two players in this instance were the difference for Fulham getting all 3 points with a third goal. So what are your thoughts about the goal from Bobby Decker Dover Reed? And it's more than just him on this.
Yeah, I think, as you mentioned, give credit to Muniz for that great towering header, but also what a delivery from Kearney.
I was just about to say, Kearney's delivery. We have to talk about that as well.
it might be the story of the season is how lethal we are from set pieces. It's unlike anything I've ever seen from a Fulham side is how good we are from a dead ball situation this season. And I think that credit has to go to the manager, but also has to go to the people whipping in the deliveries. It's been Sarri, it's been Wilson, it's been Kearney today. Just absolutely fantastic. We're asking questions of every defense when we get a corner. And credit to Declan Reed, because a lot of the times you see a header come in off the crossbar and players freeze. They kind of think, oh, they look and they admire it. They admire, oh, that was really close. That's not what Declan Reed did. He was active. He was alert. He was on his toes. And he takes advantage, because that's a loose ball. That could fall to anybody. He wanted it more, and just a really nice controlled finish. Again, those things can easily be shanked wide, as we saw Shalaba do. It can easily be blazed over, as we've seen, you know, Knockhart do on a couple occasions. It's a controlled but lethal, and so much power in that. And to see him celebrate right at the away end, which is right behind that goal, that was a great moment. That was, I think, that was really one of the moments of the season, considering, as you mentioned, go down 1-0, missing Micho, we're missing Harry Wilson. It's late in the match. The tide was against us. Very, very satisfying.
Absolutely, my friend. And that's going to lead us to talk about the ending stages of the match. And as Stephen Peterman was mentioning to me, you know, again, fabulous save by Marek Rodak. And we'll talk about that, because Fulham take the lead and he makes a great save. He actually keeps Fulham into getting all 3 points with this save. But after that, you know, and again, credit to Stoke City, because they had a couple of opportunities as well, Max. And they had that dangerous youngster from Aston Villa on loan that made a difference when he came on. It was really nervy times, but Fulham saw a way out. But it really started with this key save from Marek Rodak.
Yeah, because that's coming into him with a lot of pace. He was sitting on the volley, and he needed to step up, and he did. It was a really great save. Yep. Apart from that, and of course, the instance when the ball hits the post, which Rodak, you know, gets nowhere near, but remember that really odd one, the deflection from that same on loan Villa player. We had a couple nervy moments, but thankfully the last 6 minutes of the match and stoppage time, it was very controlled. And Knockhart coming on made a difference. I think he was excellent in terms of he was asking
he
one
was.
Thing, and that was see the match out. And he was combining, he was winning fouls, he was taking the ball out of the air. He seems motivated just in that short cameo, so that was nice to see. And, you know, we were on the attack at the end of the match. I think the whistle blew. We just had a corner. So that's exactly where you want to be when you're seeing a one-goal-away win, is having the ball as far as away from your goal as possible.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you mentioned Anthony Knockhart, because I thought he made a difference. He comes on late in the match, and he really helped Fulham at the very end. So really just fantastic from him. I'm going to share this comment before we get ready to talk about man of the match from Cone Bugler. Love Reem getting Muniz to bow in appreciation of fans calling his name at the end. I heard them call his name the entire match. And I actually wanted to hear that before the match began. I wanted everyone to get behind Rodrigo Muniz. It's not me telling the fans to do that. They did it on their own. I'm not taking any credit for that. I'm just saying it was nice to hear them get behind Rodrigo Muniz. No Mitro, and the fans got behind him.
Lovely. Lovely, because it's been hard for him. You know, it's a totally new country. It's a new language.
Can't speak the language yet. He's learning the language.
And if you remember, I mean, one of his first real Fulham moment was that penalty miss against Leeds in the cup, in the League Cup. And that's hard. And that's hard to come back from a young player. And I think I remember very clearly how the entire squad came around and hugged him and consoled him after that and said, lift your head up, man. Like, it's fine. And he's blossomed ever since. You know, we had the Blackburn match when he chipped in a couple goals. At Reading, he also got in amongst the action. But today was his first real test. Starting from minute one in a match when there's no Mitro on the bench. It's just you leading the line. And he rose to the occasion. And I'm really happy for him, because he's so much room to grow. And
you can see the talent, Max. He has it.
And if he can succeed like that, if he can continue on and the path he's going, does this mean we have a very viable backup if we're in the Prem next year?
Possibly. We need to see more.
I've thought a lot about, you know, what happens if we get promoted. I'm not saying when, because it's a long time to go, but it's looking, it's certainly a scenario which we have to consider. And the squad now needs a lot of overhauling if we're going to succeed in the Premier League next year. It's simple that the players who are starting now are great for this division, but we know a lot of them can't play in the step up.
Sure. And
if there's a situation where we can save a big money transfer by not having to buy another striker, if you already have that striker within our squad, I think that's a big bonus for us in strengthening other areas which need more support.
Absolutely.
So that's just putting that out there.
No, and we're going to have to see his progression. And there's a reason why Marco Silva wanted him here. And to have a young striker, and if he can grow into the role, Max, then you can look at other positions to strengthen. Maybe you don't have to really get that backup striker, Dimitro, when we get to the Prem. That's a great point. I'm going to share some comments because there's some very interesting. Well, if we're just talking about Anthony Knockaert. Knockaert's played smart, always gives 100%. I don't think I can ever doubt the effort of Anthony Knockaert, and I agree with this. He might not be able to pull off the goals anymore, but he definitely gives you everything that he has. I also want to share this because I already talked about this. Des Lynch, also, thank you, Hull, twice in past few days. I agree with that. Okay. All right. Coming up next to end the show, please give us your man of the match if you're watching live, and I'll get Max's man of the match. I'll share mine as well.
A dramatic pause says something without saying anything at all. Feet deserve a go-to like that. Like Hey Dude shoes. Light, comfy, good to go to.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
When traders tell us how to make thinkorswim even better, we listen. They asked for a version they could access anywhere, no download necessary. We heard them. And when they asked to execute a preset trade strategy in seconds, we said absolutely. Feedback like this inspired us to build thinkorswim web, and it continues to push us. So our entire suite of platforms never stops getting better, because platforms this innovative aren't just made for traders, they're made by them. Thinkorswim by TD Ameritrade.
Okay, Max, I'll go to you first. Who was your man of the match?
There are a lot of good options, and I think, you know, anyone is going to be right if they say somebody. I'm not going to, you know, knock them, but I have to go with Deckard Overeed. For me, he's someone, as I mentioned before, has struggled this season. You know, he's seen his starting place go away. He's seen the front three without him in it succeed and hit new heights, which you've never seen before from Fulham players. He's not really been a part of these huge wins. And that does something to a player's confidence, you know, especially when he was one of our top scorers in the Premier League last season. And right. Suddenly he's finding it hard to get a couple minutes in the championship. If I'm him, my head's down, you know, it's hard to feel confident, to want to succeed. But what he did today when he was handed the start was just excellent. He has that assist for Carvalho's goal, and he crops up in the most opportune circumstances to smash that finish in. And that's like, I mean, we've just seen two great hits from Muniz and Deckard Overeed. Got to give it to Deckard Overeed, considering he was the match winner and had that assist. But you could easily say Muniz, could easily say it to Fabio. Kearney also was excellent. So a lot of really good options out there. But I'm going to go with the match winner,
Deckard Overeed. Okay, excellent. I'm just going to share this. This is from my friend Steve Reynolds, who was in Spain. He just sent this to me. Reed, man of the match, tell Emilio. And the reason why he says that is that Emilio has made it clear that Harrison Reed's not his favorite player, but he always gives him credit when Harrison Reed plays well. What are your thoughts about the play of Harrison Reed?
I thought he was good. I thought this is the match when you need someone like Harrison Reed. Tackles are flying in the midfield. You know, that's a number of Stoke players came in late on Kearney, on Fabio, on Reed, and you need a kind of enforcer in there, snapping at people's heels, making sure Stoke players can't get away with that. I thought he was very bright.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right, let's just share some comments from the Fulham supporters. Fabio, man of the match. Let's see what else we have. A couple of shout-outs for Anthony Knockaert, which I find interesting. Very good. Now, I'm not taking credit for anything, but I'm going to share this. And again, I just find it funny. Yeah. Man of the match, psychic Russ Goldman for pregame tweet calling Bobby Deckard over. I did do it, but I'm not man of the match. I'm going to go with Max. I'm going to say the man of the match was Bobby Deckard over. So I'm going to go with you. Brendan O'Connor says it's Calf. Let's see who. Yes, Steve, I already shared your comment on behalf of myself and the Fulham shadow. It has to be Reed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very funny. Okay, Mats, he goes with Fabio. All right, let's see what Chris Baugh has to say. Got to be Bobby Deckard over Reed. that third goal was special. It was special. And that was not an easy goal, Max. Let's see what else we have. James Baldwin says, shout out Bobby Deckard, Overeat, Tosin, and Muniz, though. But let's see. For him, he said, for me, Fabio, man of the match. Okay. So we're kind of all over the place. You can go in several places with man of the match. But let me ask you about Fabio, because we're on full time now. And just because of my schedule, I really haven't had a chance to really do a regular show. So I've really been doing the full time show. And Max, what do you make of all of the stuff going around Fabio right now? I want your opinion. Yeah. Let it rip. Yeah. Because listen, I would love to see Fulham hold on to Fabio. But when you hire George Mendes as your agent, as it's been reported, potentially he's his agent, I think you're looking for another team. Now, that's just, I'm not saying that he's not going to sign a new deal. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he signs a new deal. I think he should stay another year. I think it would better him as a player to play regularly for at least one more year. Sign a contract with Fulham, stay another year, and then go to another team. That's what I would do. But I'm not him. So this is an interesting situation because I don't think Fulham are going to sell him in January. And I don't want them to sell him in January. But you now have the risk of getting nothing for him. But here's the thing. Is he more valuable to Fulham now than if he left for free? Because of the money that you could make from the Premier League.
Yeah.
I'll pose it to you that way.
Well, here's what I'll say is that I think he's most comparable in his situation, not in his playing style, but in his situation to Ryan Sessegnon.
It's very similar.
He's a player who's playing excellent in the Championship, and we're mounting this promotion push. And the question is he going to go at the end of the season or midseason, or is he going to stay with us and help us in the Prem? For me, he's not at all ready to play in the Premier League now. Because of his
on a regular basis.
If he leaves now, it's a guarantee his playing time is going to be stunted if he leaves.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with that.
And what I would say is that it's almost like Sessegnon. You know, we've seen Sessegnon's massive struggles. I don't think he was ready for the physicality, for the strength of the Premier League. We saw that the first season he played with us before he left for Spurs. So it would be a massive shame for Carvalho to stunt his development like Sessegnon.
Right.
And I see it in a very similar manner. Very talented players.
Yep.
Players who can excel at the second division. Have amazing technical quality, but if you put them in the Premier League at 19, 20 years of age, they're going to find it very difficult. And the best place you want to be is in a place that can give you minutes, a place that even if you have an off match like Fulham, you'll be in the starting 11 next time.
That's right.
The pressure is not going to be on. You're not going to be dropped to the reserves and only playing League Cup matches. If Carvalho leaves to go to a top six side, which I think he has every right to do later in his career, but if he does it too early, he'll face the same future as Sess, which is someone who's been riddled with injuries, has been inconsistent, can't play. He's been on loan, to Germany, and he's going to see his career take a nosedive. I thought Sessegnon could have been one of the best players in the world by his early 20s, based on what he was doing for us in 2017-18.
Yeah.
And look at him now. He had one all right performance against Liverpool in the Premier League for Spurs, but he's not a regular starter. He keeps getting injured, and he's not at a place which really cares about his development, in my opinion. So Carvalho would be really wise to look at that. Look at Pat Roberts this week. He moved to Sunderland, right?
I hate to bring that up, but
yeah.
But I think it's fair to bring up Pat Roberts. Then the flip side is people will then come to me and say, well, look at Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's good because Harvey Elliott.
To be fair, it has worked out for Harvey Elliott, even though he's injured now. Yeah. He actually was playing first team minutes with Liverpool, so credit to him. He bet on himself. It worked for him. But I've seen it go the other way more often than not, Max. I think it's in his best interest to stay at Fulham. He'll ultimately make what he feels is the best decision for himself. But I think his value will only grow if he stays one season with Fulham. It'll go up. Yes, the value for Fulham would go up as well. But I think it's a win-win if he stays at least another season. I would say, hey, listen, sign a new deal with us, a short-term two-year deal. We'll put a buyout clause in there. And if someone matches it, best of luck to you.
And that's the thing. As you mentioned, there's no downside for him staying at Fulham in the short term.
No. He gets to play regularly.
Yeah, he's going to make a move to a top side in the near future.
He's going to do it eventually.
He's that good.
He'll probably do it eventually.
But if you make it too soon, it can really jeopardize your entire future. Because as I've said,
that's right.
I think everyone agrees with me here. The most important thing for a young player is minutes, is first team football, is development. And the way you develop is not on the training pitch. It's not sitting on the bench, you know, in the important matches. It's not playing once every 3 weeks, you know, in the Europa League or the League Cup. It's playing first team football. So that's what Fabio has to understand. And I think, I hope, you know, you mentioned Jorge Mendes, the agent.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if he's going to have his head turned. I don't know if his family, his agent, whatever, he's going to get a great offer. It's really about understanding what's best for him and his future. And let's just hope he makes the right call.
I hope he does too. And listen, family pressure, you know, I understand that all families have pressure and, you know, I want him to do what's best for him. And I hope it ultimately he does what's best for him and not what's best for others. Do what's best for you. If he feels a move to, say, Liverpool, Leicester City, or abroad is best for him, then by all means, go ahead and make the move. I just hope that he's doing it for himself. You know, everyone can benefit beyond that. Like I said, your family, agents, everyone has their hand out. You know, again, I'm not saying the family does. I'm saying when you have these agents with their hand out, you know, their interest is making money. Their interest is really making money and getting their cut. And, you know, if he plays it right, he can benefit himself and his family. But again, it's up to him, you know, and it's up to him to do what he feels is the right thing. I have a family. I understand how you probably want to do what's best, not just for you and your family, but you have a great opportunity here. And just think it through and do what you think is right. I, you know, as a Fulham supporter and seeing the history of what's happened to other Fulham players, I personally think wait a year, the money's still going to be there, Max. And you'll just improve and your value will go up even more. You will probably end up making more money by staying at Fulham now. You probably will, but only he knows what's the best thing for him and his family. And I'm sure he'll come to that decision hopefully soon. It might not be until the summer. We'll have to wait and see. Anyways, Max, before we go, final thoughts and we'll wrap this up.
Final thoughts, 8 points clear. That really is 9 with our goal difference advantage. It's a good spot to be in. We've won 4 in a row.
Yep.
The teams below us are losing matches, right, as we're winning matches authoritatively. I'm excited. I'm really excited, Russ. I think, especially given today's result, this team can have really great confidence considering how they play without one of their best players, without one of their best wingers.
Okay.
This team is depth. This team is togetherness. And hopefully, you know, we're top of the league. Let's win this league. You know, let's not even make it close. Let's keep winning.
I agree. Just keep winning. Keep doing what you're doing. And I think the season's going to end very well for us, Max. Before we go, I have to share this to you. You're not aware of this, but I have a request from the Fulham Shadow, Emilio Danello. He messaged me before we were to go live. He needs to do a show with Max. He said, I miss doing a show with Max. So I told him that the three of us will do a show together soon. So, Max, we have to make that happen for Emilio. Yeah. He misses doing a show with you. He wanted to make sure I mention it, and I'm mentioning it during the show. So we'll make that happen. All right. We do have to wrap this up. For Mad Max, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for watching and listening to Cottage Talk. It's the 90th minute, and all to play for at the end of the match. All your mates are around. You've got your McDonald's share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. Are you in? I know I'm in. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.